We're doing the Rambam's letter to Rabbi Pinchas HaDayan. We're up to page Tachnon Aleph in the Mechon Shilat edition, in Rav Shilat's edition. Shuvat Inyan Kiddushin. He has over here a response with regards to Kiddushin, halachic engagement. Hasheila, mipnei ma amati shekiddushei biya ushtar midoraita v'kiddushei kesef d'rabanan. You're asking me, why is it that I hold that if a person engages a woman with a document or with being intimate, so that's biblical. V'kiddushei kesef d'rabanan, whereas if he does kiddushin through something of monetary value, that's rabbinic. So this is relevant to you guys. You're learning kiddushin this year, right? So we know from the first Mishnah in kiddushin, there are three possibilities, three ways in which a person can, he can opt for one of them to engage a woman. You could give her money or a ring, and that's what we do today. And that, the Rambam seems to have written that that's rabbinic. Doesn't the Talmud seem to derive all of them biblically? As the Talmud says, Bechesef minalan gamar kicha kicha. The Talmud asks, how do you know you can engage a woman with money? The Talmud brings you derivation, Akzera Shava, Zeo Inyana Sheila. So it seems that the Talmud derived it from Torah, and how come I wrote that it's rabbinic? So that's the question you asked me. Vatshuva derech tzara kachi. So the answer is, in short, it's as follows. Yesh li chibur b'lishon aravi b'inyan minyan ha-mitzvot. I wrote a work. Depends on how old the girl is. Yeah. She's her own person, then he gives the girl. If she's old enough.
If she's still 11, then he has to pay the father, and after a year he will marry.
Yafeh. So I wrote a work in Arabic regarding how to count, how to enumerate the 613 mitzvos. It's by, I don't know what the mem stands for, Sadia Shatz, our disciple. I wrote there 14 chapters that describe the rules. How do you know which counts as a biblical mitzvah and which not? Which is part of the 613 and which isn't? You really have to know them. And then you'll understand why everyone else was in error, why I did it the way I did. From the days of Rabbi Yudai Gon, Baal Alochus Gedolos, till today. Over there in those chapters I explained, that not everything that's derived from one of the laws of derivation would become biblical, unless you reach a point where the rabbis tell you, we derive this, and this is biblical. Then it's biblical. And I proved it there. And over there I proved that even something that's a halacha l'moshe misinai, we call it midivrei sofrim. So people sometimes think that, what is a sofer? So a sofer in modern days is a scribe. In the days of the Second Temple, they called their rabbis sofrim. The rabbis in the beginning period of the Second Temple were called soferim, because they kept giving counts for things. They said, arba'avot nizikim, 39 avos melachos. The mishnayos that we have with numbers are really very often a development of that time period. So the rabbis were called soferim, which could also mean those that count. So when the Rambam writes that this mitzvah is midivrei sofrim, people think he meant it's rabbinic. That's what it seems to say. This is from the words of the sages. But that it doesn't have to mean that. Could be it's from the tradition of the sages. Halacha l'moshe misinai isn't rabbinic. The Talmud even says, if you have a halacha l'moshe misinai, what do you need a pasuk for? The Talmud seems to indicate that halacha l'moshe misinai precedes a pasuk. If you have a halacha l'moshe misinai, you don't need a pasuk. You have a tradition from Moshe, you don't need a pasuk. Now, if a halacha l'moshe misinai is less than a pasuk, then what's the Gemara asking? So coming back to the Rambam says, even halachal Moshe Misinai, we would call midivrei sofrim. Doesn't mean that it's an initiative of the rabbis. It means you have it from the tradition of the rabbis. Then shamin atwa ledavar shumeforash b'Torah. The only things you could count as being from the Torah are things that are explicit in the Torah. Kigon shatnes kilayim shabbat v'arayot. For example, shatnes kilayim, Shabbos, the prohibited wives. Or davar shamuchach mim shumin atorah. or in situations where the rabbis tell you this is from the Torah. Ein kmo shlosha arba dvarim. There are only three or four of those. Bilmad. Ubaoto hasefer be'arti hakol. And I explained it all over there. Ukshetikra oto itbe'er lecha, af al pishu b'lshon aravi, sherov etan prakim d'vrei chachamim b'lshon hakodesh. He says, even though it's in Arabic, most of the chapters are in Lashon HaKodesh, and you'll figure it all out. And he concludes his letters and says, "Mechan yesh lishol v'daiv lomali abila v'daiv min haTorah sherei lo lemado b'midam shlosh sre midot ela uve'ala melamed shniknet bevia ela kesef v'ashtar be'kesh lamdu utan lama amarti shashtar hu min haTorah v'kesef midivrihem." There are two, we said there are three ways of marriage, right? They could be intimate, so that it says in the Torah. If a man marries a woman and they're intimate, the Torah indicates that being intimate means like a husband and wife. So the Torah clearly says that's one way of marriage. But what about the other two? They're not explicit. So how come for one of them I said it's biblical? Shtar. Shtar, what does shtar mean? Shtar means you write a contract. What do? You finish eating your popsicle stick. You take the wrapper of the popsicle stick, instead of throwing it out, you write on it. Even though this is a worthless piece of wrapper, let this wrapper be used as a legal contract between me and you, and that you are hereby married to me. And you tell her, I want to marry you with this little piece of a wrapper of a popsicle stick. And you give it to her. And now you're married. If she agrees, you're married. Because it's not the value. It's an agreement. What? She has to accept it. I mean, she might throw it in your face. She might accept it.
But if she takes it and throws it in your face, she accepted it and you're married.
No, because she shows that she only took it to throw it in your face. So we said marriage can happen either through something of monetary value, what we do today, we give a ring, or through a legal document like taking a wrapper and writing on it, and if she accepts it, so that's it, you're married with a shtar, or through being intimate. Now, being intimate, that's written in the Torah. The other two are not written in the Torah. So how come when it comes to something of monetary value, I wrote it's midivrei sofrim, when it comes to a shtar, I wrote that's biblical? Why aren't they equal? The answer here, says the Rambam, undoubtedly, I would have said like that they're both equal, they're both midivreim. Being that they were derived from a law of derivation. You have an interesting scenario. The Torah says, let's say you have a girl that's engaged, that's a virgin. And then she, after engagement, she goes and commits adultery. So now, if the Torah only recognized a scenario of engagement through being intimate, she ain't no virgin anymore. So then, if the Torah described to you a scenario where a girl is engaged and is still a virgin, then the Torah was telling you from the Torah's perspective, biblically, there must be another means of engagement other than just being intimate. So you see, there must be a way of engagement without being intimate. Uvame, how so? The Gemara goes back and forth. Ultimately, the Gemara says, we're talking about a scenario the Torah recognizes in the overt written Torah that there's engagement through the use of a document. Just as the Torah tells you can divorce with the written document, so too you can engage with that. So you see from that everyone agrees that a written document can form engagement, can marry the two. That was the basis for my ruling that one can marry with a shtar and it's biblical. And now he finishes, he says, I want to leave you off with one thought. Now this is a very important thought that the Rambam says. He says, I swear by your life, he uses the term alufi. Alufi is usually a term for someone who's your teacher. It's a little strange. The Rambam should use that to Rabbi Pinchas, who seems to be his disciple. Al tetzeer atzmecha la'ashiv al kol elu ha'inyanim. The Rambam realized that people were attacking him. People were saying all kinds of not nice things about him. What does the Rambam know? Why did he write such things? So he tells him, don't bother replying to things like this. And don't assume that I'm going to have time to answer all your letters. I'm going to have to write really short replies. I'm busy with a lot of different things. Vigufi chalash, my body's weak. Then be yicholet afilu likot haktavim. I don't even have the capacity to read letters. Kal v'chomer lashiv aleim. All the more so to reply. Elaim yu sheilot al devar chokhma. Only if you have something that's really intelligent, that's something very deep, that you have a question. Ven lipnai klal mipnei chalishut gufi tamid. Because really I don't have any time because my body is so weak. It's perpetually weak. And because I myself have to learn and I have a bunch of things to deal with, so do me a favor, don't assume I'm going to have time. If you're going to write letters, keep them short and keep them really important, and I'm not always going to be able to answer, and if I will, it's going to be short. And may your peace be much and flourish. It's the 35th of the Omer. And he signs his name.